Dia, D-I-A, logismos, L-O-G-I-S-M-O-S. Dialogismos is where we get the English word logic, logis. It talks about line upon line, precept upon precept. And in the book of Acts, you find it mentions about Paul, dialogismos. Paul teaching the word and explaining the word. And he's talking about the debating that goes on in the book of Acts. And he explained the word to them. And that key word is the word dialogismos. I have a whole study on that in the tape series Visualizing the Spirit. And what we need to understand is the word dialogismos speaks about the logical part of our mind. It's an accepted knowledge today that the right brain and the left brain, we all have the right and left brain, that the right brain consists mainly of the visual area and the left brain the logical or reasoning area. One is a visual, one is a reasoning. Marvelously, it is actually there in the Bible. The Bible speaks about all these things. And there is a logical part and there is a visual part of our being. Paul in Ephesians emphasized that the visual is the part that the devil has been working in to control the lives of human beings. And so the saying, a picture paints a thousand words. When fear comes, it's a picture that comes. When failure comes, it's a picture that comes. See, in Ephesians 2, it's that wrong picture that he puts into us. The wrong imaginations. In Genesis 6, it says that God had to destroy the world because of their wicked deeds, that means things that they did, but also because of their wicked imagination. And if it's in their imagination, it will come out in their works. And before it happens, the destruction and judgment came upon the earth in Noah's flood. That's Genesis 6. God saw that the imagination of man's heart was constantly evil. So we find the visual part of our brain and our mind as a vital factor in tuning to the things of the Spirit, and it is an area that the devil affects also. And we know that the depths of the subconscious lie in the visual area. I read a book on quantum fitness, and a scientist was studying on the most modern research on human biorhythm. And he said, long ago, human beings thought that they could not affect their involuntary movements of their body. Right? We are all taught that in our early school days. And he says, research has shown that through the visual part of the brain, even the involuntary parts of the muscular function can be affected. Wow, that's something else. And he talks about how people have affected the change in their heartbeat, change in many areas of their body, things that are taken to be involuntary functions of the body. That means they are reflex action, they're always happening. Through a visual concentration. That's a powerful natural research. And As we look at that, here in the Bible, it talks about how the devil has been affecting the visual aspects of our being. And if you study on the brain, I have two books on brain and brain study. And how they look at different parts of the brain. The brain has many lobes, right? So there's a brain stem, and then over it builds all the cortex and all the other parts of the brain, and then the two halves of the brain. And all these are still in its, what I call, early stage of study, even up to the modern day. There's so much that is not known yet. We know that the brain is known to be not just a center of reasoning. The brain is a gland. It secretes many kinds of chemicals that affect the whole body system. The brain controls all the other parts of our body through chemicals that it secretes. And up to this day, not all the chemicals have been identified. There's so much we do not know yet. And the interesting point is that knowing that there's a brain stem and over there all the other development, and only man has a huge development on the cortex area of the brain. But this is a interesting note. In that study, he put a note that the most primitive part of the brain, by primitive they mean the early part of the brain stem, the lowest part, deepest part, functions purely on the visual area. A cat doesn't think about mice as M-I-C-E. Once upon a time, I'm sure in the Genesis, they did talk, and the animals did talk. Somehow they lost their ability. Animals do not have spirits, they have souls. Souls imply emotions and a lower form of response. When a cat thinks, it is purely, if I could use the word think, when a cat thinks about food and see the mice running, the cat doesn't think, mice, M-I-C-E, run, R-U-N. No, it's the picture that comes. And the cats respond. They learn by seeing, hearing, following another. Adult animal or something. Some things are inbuilt inside. But there's a visual part of their being. The most primitive part, which can affect in the lower subconscious of all of us, the visual part controls and affects it. Now the marvelous truth here in Ephesians 1 is that God wants to open up the dianoia to the spirit. Our inner eyes were meant, I repeat, our inner eyes were meant to contact the spirit world. It is now brought to the low level of just imagination. But originally, it was that realm. And in Ephesians 2, 3, verse 3, it is that realm that Satan attacks. And it's that same realm that God wants to work with. Now notice here, compare Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 18. Having their understanding, and the word is their dianoia, having their dianoia darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now here it says it's a condition of the fallen state of man, and it applies to all men. And here it speaks about those who have fallen away from God, that they were alienated from the life of God. In other words, it was like man was connected in the spirit realm to the life of God. There was a spiritual connection, a wire. Somehow, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were cut off from the life of God. So they were alienated, separated from the life of God. And you just put it here. And they were there. God's life is on one side, and man went on the other side. See, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, let's look over the book of Genesis. God created man and woman in verse 27 in His image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. And then in chapter 2 is a detailed record of some of the things that had transpired. And God said in verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, in the Hebrew, there are two words for the word die. The word die occur two times. One is in the future tense, one is in the present tense. Not just once, as in our English translation. The Young's Literal Translation of the Bible, which is a very good translation, by the same person, Robert Young, who did the Young's Concordance, he also has a translation of the Bible called the Young's Literal Translation. And he translates it this way. It says, "In the day that you eat of this fruit, or tree of knowledge of good and evil, dying," present tense, "you shall die," future tense. Now that is what it says in the Hebrew. And what God was saying, in the day that you eat of it, you die. And dying, having died, you shall die. What God was saying, that in the day you eat of it, spiritually you shall die. And you shall physically die. Because when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they went on to live for a long time. Adam lived until he was 930 years old. He didn't die immediately. But God said, the day you eat it, you will die. He didn't die physically. He was alienated from the life of God. Now, Ephesians 4 states an important point. Being alienated from the life of God, their understanding, their dianoia, became dark. It became dark. It could not see clearly. So Satan could now pervert it and use it for his own ends. And that is why Ephesians 1, when God starts working in our life, one of the first things that God changed is our dianoia. He anoints it, and the Spirit of God touches it, and the dianoia gets open to see, begin to see the spirit realm. It all depends. In verse 18, it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened," chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 18 now, "being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, according to the power," it says, "according to the energizing of His iskus kratos, which He worked in Christ Jesus." It depends on the power of iskus kratos working out through our lives. So in chapter 1 and 2 of Ephesians, we see how that as we allow the iskus and kratos to work in our life, Christ is already seated at the right hand of God. In chapter 2, we are the one who need to know how to sit there at the right hand of God. We are seated with Christ. Our position is in Him and with Him. The word there is together. Don't imagine that in heaven there is the Father's throne and he's sitting there. And Jesse Duplantis, who has been to heaven, says, "The Father, don't move very much."